I have a little joke I came across. Go ahead and put that first one up, Burdell. He's not too swift with most of the Ten Commandments, but he does rest on Sunday. I always thought when I exercise, my favorite part is the rest in between the exercise. But I'm actually very good at that part. And thus our subject for today, to remember the Sabbath. I would say I'm preaching to the choir today. It is the fact that you're all here says you know about church. You know about the Lord's Day. Today is our fourth commandment. So we've been into the series, the Ten Commandments, for 5 weeks. And we actually, the commandments 5 through 10 will be focused on us living with each other. Up until this time, we've been focused on a relationship, the relationship we have with God directly. But now we're going to be focused on the relationships we have with each other. The fourth commandment is unique in some ways. It's one of two that are stated in the positive. And it happens to be, in the list of them, the longest one as far as words and the verses when they're listed together there in Exodus 20. And it kind of made me wonder, is there a special emphasis for this since it's larger than the other ones? I say that, but at the same time, it is the only law that is not specifically mentioned in the New Testament, which is really interesting when you put the two together. There's many perspectives and issues to consider as we think of the Sabbath day. It reminds us to remember and to observe, to set a day aside to make it holy, a day of rest. For those who have heard my personal testimony, you know from the time I was born, growing up in a Christian home, our family was in church every Sunday. We just weren't in church every Sunday. We were in Sunday school, in the church service, the evening service for singing and another Bible study. We were usually there on Wednesdays for prayer meeting, Wednesday evenings, sometimes a Bible study too. And I know my parents tended to be there on Tuesdays and Thursdays often for helping to run the church or choir practice. And so I, like many of you, know what it's like to be going to church and to do so regularly. Understand, going to church is not the secret ticket to getting into heaven. Believing in Jesus Christ, that he wiped the slate clean, is the only ticket to get to heaven. Going to church by itself does not make you a better Christian, although it can certainly help. It's humbling to recognize that God isn't looking for perfect people. He's looking for people to trust a perfect God. If you understand and accept who he is and what he has done and give him your life, he'll never let you go. In the Old Testament, we see many bits of information about ceremonies and purification steps, sacrifices. Plus, on their own, the Hebrews in those days attached numerous laws to what God asked for. When Jesus came, he came to fulfill the law, to complete the work. He came to justify us for salvation. So these words about the Sabbath in the Bible, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, do they really relate to us today? I mean, it's a fair question to ask. We know through much of history the Sabbath is on Saturday. In the Jewish environment, it's still on Saturday. Actually, it starts on Friday night as soon as the sun sets and goes to the sun sets Saturday evening. So are we supposed to keep the Sabbath like the Jews had? Are we supposed to follow that same rule? Let's take a quick look at Scripture and see what it has to say. And actually, it has a lot to say. And there's many perspectives, so we'll want to look them over carefully. In Acts 2:46, one of my very favorite passages that speak to community. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Many were witnesses to Jesus' appearance after he had died and he rose again. And most Christians figured he was going to come back really soon and restore his kingdom on the earth. I'm sure they were excited. They were excited to share the truth about the resurrection, the promise of that new kingdom, which would happen soon. They wanted to encourage each other as they rejoiced in that amazing truth of what Jesus had accomplished. The examples of community in the early church show us a pattern that's appropriate for us today to follow. It shows us what it means to share our journey with Jesus Christ, with each other, as we do here coming today. We should have a heart for worship, a heart for hospitality, sharing, eating together, one of my favorites, but doing that when we gather together with joy, with great joy. The writers of Hebrew encourages us with these words. In Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It appears, as in our day, there were many back then that did not want to come together regularly. It's important that we come together regularly. Over 2,000 years, things haven't changed. The writers of Hebrew tells us that we should meet together, and it should be a habit where we come together to celebrate, to challenge each other in love, and to do good things. To serve those around us, both in our church and outside of our church. Well, we'd all agree it's easy to develop a habit. It's really easy to develop a habit that's a bad habit. But if we can develop bad habits, why don't we take the time to develop habits that feed our soul? Habits that minister to us. We can create good habits as well as we look to manage our lives on the straight and narrow, as we look to grow in Jesus Christ. You can see across the country, many are in the habit of not attending church, at least on a regular basis. It just has become a low priority. In Hebrews, this passage tells us directly we need to meet together on a regular basis to encourage each other, to keep our eye on Christ, remembering that he's coming back. He's coming back. We need to keep that in our mind. So I have 3 points. The first one, what is the background of the Sabbath, really? What's the historical and traditions around the Sabbath? The first mention of the Sabbath is in Genesis, right at the very beginning. Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. You can't get too much more in the beginning than this. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. The word Sabbath, as mentioned earlier, is derived from the Hebrew word to rest, to cease to work. And it is a great example to take note. I'm sure God did not need the rest. He had to be teaching us something. In Deuteronomy 5:15, it reads, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbath. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy." According to these verses, in keeping the Sabbath, we're able to rest from work. And in doing that, it allows us to know the Lord better. quoting my friend Tim Olson I've talked about. I'll just read this to get it right. Just as the first fruits in the tithe were offered to God as a recognition that the whole produce of the earth belongs to the Lord, the dedication of one day in seven is an expression that every minute of a man's life, man or woman, belongs to God who gave him life. So just like we give money, a portion of what we take in, it's not a leap to say we should do the same with our time. Exodus 35:2, for 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day shall be your holy day, a day of Sabbath rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it is to be put to death. Now, I would love to have the enforcement quality of the pastor to get everybody to come to church with it by the threat of death, but probably wouldn't be appropriate in this day and age. The Hebrew nation understood the importance of the Sabbath, and they developed rules to help everyone focus on God, his holiness, and their need to follow his commands. But you can also see what actually develops into almost an overbalance of the Sabbath. You see it reflected in the laws of the Mishnah, the Jewish laws, where many activities weren't allowed on the Sabbath day. They were forbidden. By the time of Jesus' day, the intent of the Sabbath had been really totally distorted. The Sabbath had become hard. It had become a burden with, I've read in some sources, hundreds of laws telling you what you could do on the Sabbath every moment. It needs to be a time of worship and celebration. May it never be for us that coming to church is a burden, not a grand view. So a very important question. Do we need to observe the Sabbath? Luke 6:5 says this. Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." The Lord of the Sabbath has come and given its true meaning. Remember, the law of the Sabbath is the only law of the Ten Commandments that wasn't repeated in the New Testament, and yet we have a reference to it. I, as your pastor, I don't want to be legalistic. But I understand we see and find many examples in scriptures that tell us to have a regular practice, to do things on a routinely basis. And I think it's good examples that we follow as we look at scriptures that God wants us to honor him by making it a regular part of our schedule, by making it a regular part of a routine to recognize him. 1 Corinthians 16:2 reads, "On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made." Again, we have this pattern of weekly doing things, we're reminded. Dr. Luke, in his writing to the early church in Acts, reminds us that we need to meet weekly to worship, recognize Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. In verse 7 of chapter 20, it says, "On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept talking until midnight." This sermon won't be quite that long. Note, in this next verse, the Apostle John's works, as he refers to the Lord's day, in Revelations 1:10, "On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard him behind me, a loud voice, like a trumpet." So we find it throughout Scripture. And in human ways, though, we often drift to legalism, or the other extreme. We must be careful to live our lives with appropriate balance and with wisdom. We need to lift up God's example and his commands to follow. So I came up with some modern-day examples. Some of them aren't real modern, but more modern-day than back in Jesus' day, as those who sought out to follow this command. Early in the 4th century, we had Constantine. There he is, handsome guy. He issued an edict, no work to be performed on the Lord's day. How would you like Congress or the president to make rules that you could not do anything? Think of all the bureaucracy that would be created around enforcing that. Jonathan Edwards in the 1800s argued that in light of the new covenant blessings in Christ, Sunday had replaced Saturday. Not so sure about that. We'll talk about that just in a minute. Chick-fil-A. Ever hear of them? Is there a Chick-fil-A in this town? No, I don't think so. They're not from where we are. They just started moving as we moved away. Samuel Cathy believed that his company attracted quality people by giving employees Sunday off as a day for family, worship, fellowship, and rest. Hobby Lobby, which we do have in this town, I've been there, they're closed on Sunday to allow their employees to have family and worship time together. Now, here's a commentary that summed it up really well on a confusing point. I'm going to again read it because I want to get it exactly right. According to the New Testament, there are no grounds for treating the Old Testament Sabbath as a continuing legal requirement for believers. While there is solid evidence that the early Christians were beginning to worship on Sunday in honor of the resurrection, there is no evidence that Sunday is to be considered the new Sabbath day of rest. Isn't this interesting? In the way Christians should now keep the fourth commandment, thus, Sunday did not replace the Sabbath. But it is clear from the New Testament that Christians began worshiping on Sunday, the Lord's Day, because of the significance of his resurrection. We can see in the Apostle Paul's writings especially that we have great freedom in Christ. Christ didn't come to wipe out the law. He came to fulfill the law. And we have freedom in Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we ignore the commandments. Colossians chapter 2, 16 through 17 reads, "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." Romans 14:5. "One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them must be fully convinced in his own mind." See, I believe the Lord allows us to worship on Saturday night as well as Sunday, maybe Friday, maybe even Thursday. That's not the point. The point is that we regularly worship our Lord, that we regularly come together. My second point is fairly simple. Plan a day of rest. I believe the principles of the Sabbath should still be followed. And we should consider what this fourth commandment means to us. Look at these next verses. And you could say they speak directly to Iowa farmers as well. Not getting personal, Gary. Exodus 34:21, "6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest." God is saying we still need to honor him. It's also worthy to note that many studies have been done how you can practically, when you give people rest, they tend to have a higher quality of work. So you could say it's a common sense. Think about how you can plan a day of rest. What kind of things would you do? What would you put into practice if you wanted to make things different? Make it something other than just another run, run, run day. I think of how we live our lives. Our days are packed. We're going everywhere. And I'm sure I'm just like all of you. God wants us to live a healthy and balanced life. Just like the principle of tithing, where we give a portion of our income. How much more valuable, how much more honored is it to give God a portion of probably the most valuable thing we have? Money comes and goes, but time just goes. How much more precious to honor God by giving him time? Leviticus 23:3. "There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord." we as a people need to make time to be still and focus on God. If we don't, we'll literally be sucked up by the world. We will be drawn into the world of such busyness and so many activities, a lot of them good, a lot of them not sin, a lot of them worthy of our efforts. But we could just get totally consumed with being too busy, always being too busy. We could even make church just a list, many, many long-listed list of things that we just crowd in together. The psalmist wrote in chapter 46, verse 10, it really is a great verse. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth." How often do we work at being still? As humans, we want to go, go, go. We want stimuli. We want action. We want to fill every moment. We just struggle with being still. At least I do. The concept of resting and being still is like opposite of what I want to do. Observing the Sabbath is not meant to be a legalistic or ritual effort. It is meant to be a joy, a delight. Isaiah 58, 13 through 14 reads, "If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you'll find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride and trumpet on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." I really like encouragement like that. God reminding us that he has blessings for us. To honor the Sabbath, to be healthy, it's just good. It makes practical sense. I conclude with this thought. God says he will give you rest. Let's take him up on that. Let's consider stopping our normal, regular routine and take a breath. Just take a break and recognize who God is. He's a holy God. He's a pure God. He's a perfect God. His word is true and absolute. We would be wise to draw close to his scriptures, to experience the rest we can have in him. Hebrews 4, 9 through 10, "There remains in a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for anyone who enters God's rest and also rests from their works, just as God did from his." This could be another Sunday. Just another Sunday, you come, you hear some good words, you go your way. Or it could be one of those moments that maybe you can't change it drastically. Maybe you can just take a baby step and change something in your day to help you remember that God created a space for you to recognize him. God created a pattern that you can follow as you look to bring home the fourth commandment into your life, into your family's life. I'm going to do something a little different to close the service. I'm going to have us all read out loud a verse. A couple of verses, 28 and 29. So why don't you please stand? I can see who's falling asleep. Please join me. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Thank you. Let us be still and know that he is God. Let me pray. In the stillness of this moment, Lord, we want to draw all our attention to you. We want to recognize you as our Lord, our Savior, a perfect God. Help us to consider your words, to make the space and time for us to focus on you. We're consumed with so much activity, so many important things, so many worthy things. Help us to be wise as we look to live healthy and balanced lives. Help us to know your truth in your being, in our lives, and in our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.